Hello, and welcome to Everybody A, Everybody Gay.
A queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars' original sin.
With your hosts, Joanna.
And Vina.
And tonight we are discussing the first episode of this spinoff called Spirit Week.
Yeah. Chapter one, Spirit Week. We are naming our titles like Riverdale episodes. In the very unlikely event that somebody is listening to this because they really wanted to hear a podcast about PLL Original Sin and they've never listened to our podcast before, what would you like to say about who we are and what this podcast is, Joanna?
Okay, so we are two queer ladies who loved and hated original PLL in, you know, sometimes equal measure, but I think we both had a lot of like affection for the show and for the characters and for the world and for the queerness and everything like that. So that's the lens through which we're going to be looking at Original Sin. We've in our time seen a lot of bad episodes of the first PLL. We've seen a lot of bad episodes of spinoffs of the original PLL. So I'm eager to see what's going to go on here. What would you say to anyone who is new to the podcast?
First of all, I think that's a great capsule description for something I gave you no warning I was going to ask you about. I would agree with all of that. You know, we kind of started as fanfic writers and met through there and realized that we had a lot of opinions about Pretty Little Liars. And we wanted to share them, and we've been fortunate enough that some people actually want to hear us talk about the show. I would say kind of the way that we have often sort of the lens by which we've looked at the show, as pretentious as that sounds, is, you know, with an eye for the queerness, with a lot of love for the female characters and a lot of disdain for the male characters. A particular eye for a lot of the predators in the world of Rosewood. Presria is our shorthand for Arya and Ezra, because lest we never forget, you know, that Ezra Fitz is a predator. And, you know, we also like to have a lot of fun and be silly. And we have had a lot of our listeners ask us to talk about this show. I think we have both maybe approached it a bit reluctantly because we've been burned before when it comes to PLL spinoffs, but we're excited to be here, and I'm excited to finally, however, what, a year later, 2 years later, be talking about Original Sin.
Yes, and just right off the top, I think we should say, like, trigger warning, for discussion and for like plot points of suicide in this episode.
Yeah.
Multiple times. So careful there. And also I think we should also probably have a trigger warning for sexual assault as well.
Absolutely. And we try to be mindful of, you know, any kind of content warnings. Of course, if there's ever anything we talk about that people feel like they weren't appropriately warned for, please, you know, send us an email. Our email will be in the show notes. We love connecting with listeners, so please write in if you feel to. So all of that being said, what is this show, Joanna? What is Original Sin?
All right. So it is in the PLL oeuvre, I guess we can say. It does like feature, it seems to like a core cast of teen girls. And what should we talk about first? I guess we should talk about the girls, or should we talk about the inciting incident?
I think let's do a little rundown of the girls. Who are we working with here? Do you want to start us off, or should I?
I was going to say Imogene, who is approximately 26 months pregnant. FYI.
Yeah. That's
her pregnancy appears to be the endless November of this show.
Yeah.
I've watched one episode so far.
Yeah, she's, Yes, it seems she has been pregnant for some time. We do not, as of this episode, know who got her pregnant. But she's played by Bailey Madison, who's like been a child actress, been around for a long time. And I think is a good grounding presence at kind of the heart of this show. I wouldn't say that she's exactly the Aria. I think that descriptor maybe belongs to a different character, but I think she is the Aria in the sense that sort of, we're kind of seeing this pilot through her eyes, more or less.
I feel like her character has some Hannah vibes.
I would agree.
But I do see what you're saying. And I have that note about her later about how we seem to be, we definitely seem to be seeing the pilot through her.
Yeah. Yeah. So we then have Tabby, who is a film buff and really annoying about it.
My note on her is pregnant with film references. There
we go. Well, you know, when we were watching this, I was thinking about the character of Mindy in the Scream reboot and how Mindy functions in a similar way, but is like, I find so much more charming and like interesting as a character. Tabby is just like, feels like kind of like a ChatGPT of film references. I do think she's a bit the Aria in the sense that she's full of pretentious references to works that like her fellow students don't seem to understand. And also that she is going to get scammed on by an older guy who is pretending to find her, you know, quirky and intelligent.
I find her to be comparable to Emily.
Okay.
Because she has very long legs and is kind of a slacker at work.
I can see that.
So these are two of the first girls that we meet. And then I think the next person I want to mention does not appear to be these characters. They're not like the core liar group, but they seem to be the nemesis of the liar group, mm-hmm. And that is Karen, who is an openly mean blonde girl who is actively campaigning for Spirit Week Queen, despite running unopposed, clearly in need of a lot of external validation. She is a former friend of Imogene. She's dating a soggy piece of white bread, or possibly a dude named Greg, who can say. She was in the house when Imogene's mom died. She is the daughter of Sheriff Badman, and she uses the word cocksucker as a slur.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. We're swearing, which, like, I knew we would be. We're on HBO Max, but, like, I'm so used to PLL where, like, the worst word they say is bitch that, like, when the fuck started flying around, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Funnily, though, this is, like, a very, like, sexually chaste episode. Like, there's not... I was really struck by that. Like, I don't even know if there's any, like, making out. I don't think there is. Like, there's, like, a little bit of kissing, I think. But I found that really interesting. There's blood and there's swearing, but there is, like, we're being proper when it comes. And there's no pot smoking, which happens in the PLL pilot or second episode. I can't remember. So Karen, and she has her twin, Kelly, who is... sort of just put as like being in the shadow of Karen. One of our initial wishes of no twins, sadly.
Dashed immediately.
I'm like, so far, they're not, in this pilot at least, they're not doing a lot with the twin thing. I'm sure that will become a thing later. Another character that we have is Mouse, who is a shy computer nerd, ambiguously queer character, who somewhat confusingly has, like, a lot of her scenes in this episode are with a boy who is part of the, essentially, like, the Gay Straight Alliance of their school. But it seems... maybe flirtatious. I'm I'm not sure what's going on with Mouse. This episode is not as gay as I want it to be.
I totally agree. I have Mouse interests include computers and staring at flyers for the queer group in the hallway. But yeah, we don't know, like, Mouse is like maybe non-binary, or like maybe Mouse and this other person in the Queer Alliance, like, they could be pan. We don't know. We don't know what the situation is, but I do agree that they seem to have like definitely a friendly vibe, but also like kind of a more than friendly vibe, I would say.
I have some breaking news about this show that I just discovered on the Wikipedia page, because I have the Wikipedia page open so that I can keep all the characters straight. According to Wikipedia, you know, our highest caliber news source, Sasha is going to be a regular in season 2 as Allison.
Well.
Well, indeed.
We're one episode in right now, and you know that when I was done, I said like, "Oh, I'm so interested to see where it goes." And boy,
we'll see. Who knows if that's real or not? But somebody might have just put it on the Wikipedia. I don't see a source for it. I'm gonna do a little Googling, but that might be happening.
Well, you heard it. You heard it here first, or at least I definitely heard it here first. I was not aware of that. So, okay.
Sorry to throw.
Watch out on that Wikipedia page, because, like, so I'm going in like fairly unspoiled. So if you spoil yourself for any further developments this season,
that's on me.
Your hat,
and I will. Yeah. I will definitely keep it under my hat. That's all I've got for now. So apologies. Back to these girls.
All right. So, boy, I am. Can you pronounce? Is it Farron? Yeah,
Farron. Right? I believe it's Farron.
Farron. Okay. Not the lesbian folk singer, but a ballerina who is dealing with racism and heavy-handed plot points.
Yeah, I feel that she was like the least clearly defined. She's kind of cast as like Spencer-y, like very like headstrong, but I don't know, I feel like that character, I hope that she gets to be a little bit more specific in later episodes.
And then finally, Noah, I guess is how you say. I don't feel like they said her name.
I heard it as Noah.
Okay, great. So Noah, who is doing community service, wearing an ankle monitor, and is forced to take frequent drug tests. This is currently her whole personality.
See, I kind of liked Noah a little bit, and I was also getting slight Hannah vibes from the pilot because of, like, the kind of, you know, being a little bit in trouble and having kind of an F this vibe about it all.
Oh, you have always enjoyed Hannah. You've always enjoyed, like, identity crisis, platinum blonde, Hannah. I could see that. I could see that in Noah.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful. I feel like her actress is, like, charismatic enough that I'm hopeful that that will be interesting. The other thing is that all of their moms are characters on this show. And I suppose we can talk now a little bit about the inciting incident, because this show starts in the 90s. We have this very kind of Carrie-esque opening of this young girl, very disheveled, face streaked with makeup, walking around the school dance. We know it's a PLL-related show because there's a school dance.
Is it a school dance? I think I disagree with you.
It's a not a school dance
party.
Sorry, what was that?
I think it's a New Year's Eve party. It's like, the flyer is like Y2K.
Okay. So it's a New Year's Eve party, but it's teens are dancing.
Yes. I didn't think it was a school. I felt like it was like a factory/warehouse/barn place.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, it's at a party, and this young woman is very upset. She's kind of dragging herself around, begging for help, begging for somebody to listen to her, to help her out. And she comes up to a group of girls. The mean girl of this group, the sort of Allison of this group, is, we will find out, Imogen's mother. And Imogen's mother seems to wield some power over these other girls, who are all the mothers of the characters we've just discussed. She tells them, you know, ignore her. Basically, like, she, you know, she says something like she made her own bed, or she.
No, the girl. Okay, so the distressed girl, I learned from pausing and like doing like Amazon X-ray or whatever. The distressed girl is named Angela, and Angela is like, she keeps saying like Sydney. Like, it seems like she sees Sydney, who is, I have in my notes, Sydney, mother of Tabitha, because that's the only way I'm going to keep track of anyone.
Yeah.
So she calls out to Sydney, she goes over, and Sydney appears to like have some empathy for her, but then Davy, mother of Imogen, says, we talked about this. Like, she kind of snaps, we talked about this. So yeah. Unknown what exactly they talked about, but the upshot is that no one, including Sydney, helps her.
Also, Sydney and Davy are both gay names, I feel.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, there are a lot of gay names in this show, I think. So this girl, poor Angela, kind of climbs up on this big like rafter setup above the DJ booth, and in a very some might say ripoff, some might say homage moment to Carrie, she's sort of standing there backlit, says, you know, do you all see me now? And plunges to her death. And there's a pretty cool shot of a pair of shoes and the pool of blood kind of seeping towards the shoes. And this is what we get of the past before we cut to present day, where all of those young ladies are now moms. For some reason, all still living in this town. Don't worry about it. There's also a very clunky line later where Tabby says to Imogen, I had no idea our moms were friends. So I guess they've like maybe never spoken to each other, but they all live in this small town. I don't know. But then do you want to take us into like kind of the sort of inciting incident part two that happens after this?
Oh, I mean, yeah, well... Well, certainly, we can certainly go into that. So now it's, you know, 22 years later or something. We get the show's first time jump, and it's a big one. And now we see 26 months pregnant Imogen and her mom hanging together in the house. Her mom is encouraging her to drink milk. So like, oh, everybody cares about the baby, blah. Well, Kelly, Imogen's former friend, is on her way over. There's going to be some kind of exchange of stuff. And I was like, oh, man, is it like an ex-girlfriend situation? But I don't think it is, unfortunately. Kelly comes in and she hands Imogen's mom.
Sorry, one second. It's Karen, right?
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Oh, I know that we have
twins.
To.
Twins. Good Lord. But yes, we do.
Yes.
You're right. We have to be really careful. It's Karen. Karen is the twin who is coming over. Karen is the one who we might want to burn her stuff. The Karen comes in, and Karen is the one who hands like an envelope to Davy, mother of Imogen, and in the envelope is a flyer for the Y2K party. And on the back, there is an A message that kind of says, like, the clock is ticking. It's like, you know, it's basically your, like, ChatGPT generated A message. Like, it's not.
None of the A messages are as good as original A messages.
No, they are not. So there's this A message on this flyer. You can see that Davy is, like, spooked by it. But she puts it off and like pretends that it is a flyer for like a new restaurant in town. The girls go upstairs and they have like a very kind of brief exchange of words, where we learn that Imogen's like Karen is angry with Imogen because she believes that Imogen kissed her boyfriend, white bread, Greg. And like, it seems like they are not in Imogen's room for more than like 5 minutes. But when they emerge from the room, there is the sound of dripping water and the upstairs hallway is flooding. They follow the water to the bathroom door. They open the bathroom door. And then we see that Davey, Imogen's mother, is dead in the bathtub. An apparent suicide, but with the letter A scrawled in blood on the bathroom tile.
Yeah. So that's a lot.
It's a super quick, like, first, you know, like, we've gotten two bodies that have dropped in, like, the first, you know, the first couple scenes of this episode.
I personally feel that this pacing could use a bit of work. I think perhaps Davey could have died at the end of the episode, or perhaps when we pick up, it's like we don't actually see the suicide slash potential murder, and it's like Davey has already been dead for several months or something like that, because we then have to like hard cut to 1 month later and like
our second time jump.
Imogen's kind of fine. Like, she and her mom, it seems like, were very, very close. They were going to raise this baby together. It seems that this is a town of single mothers. And there's no mention of Imogen's dad, unless I missed it. And so it's just like Imogen's back at school. She's living with Tabby and her mother, Sydney. And I like this Sydney, mother of Tabitha. Very Game of Thrones. And it's like everybody's kind of like, should you be going back to school? And she's like, I want to go back to school. What are you going to do? Before they go back to school, however, they stop by Imogen's old house. And we have the first of several somewhat belabored Halloween references with a spooky face peering out of the shuttered house.
Yes. The spooky figure who like appears a lot in this episode, like I would say that they are comparable to the like zombie baby mask situation from original PLL. But they're dressed in like, I don't know, like not burlap, but like they're dressed in an uncomfortable looking like jumpsuit of some kind, and they have hair that looks kind of like an out of control Chucky doll situation.
They're dressed like Michael Myers. I mean, it feels like it's very correct. Whereas A always felt very physically like ambiguous gender wise, it feels to me like this character, at least physically, is being sort of portrayed as male.
Oh, interesting. I did not get that.
Okay.
From it. But yeah, I agree. They're like, they have more shape than A ever did. Like A was just like a wisp of a black hoodie, and then away. But yeah, this seems to have more physical form.
Yeah, exactly. And so then we're kind of, you know, we kind of have, oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk about the pacing, like you were saying, of the episode, because one of the things that, like, with everything happening so quickly, it literally seems like whether Imogen's mom like took her own life or whether she was murdered, like that was so fast. So fast, and no one heard anything, despite the fact that they obviously would have had to go down the hall past Imogen's room in order to get to the bathroom. So yeah, wow.
Yeah, and it's a bit of like a Mrs. D situation where it sort of feels like there's already so much happening in this pilot that we don't really linger on this. It's not really clear whether there's like you know, this is being like actively investigated. Later in the episode, Imogen has a couple of lines where she's talking about how like her mom would never have left her like this. But it seems to be more from a place of grief than a place of like, I definitely think she was murdered. I'm sure that this comes back at some point because like, how could it not? But it's just, it's a bit, it's just a lot. It's just a lot to pack in when we haven't really gotten any time with these characters.
Yeah. And it does not, it does not seem like you would sort of think that maybe discovering a body together, like particularly the unexpected discovery of a corpse in the bathroom, that might like put a dent in some of the animosity between Karen and Imogen, but it does not.
Yeah, yeah. And in general, I think something that I feel is that the PLL pilot, whether it was pacing, whether I don't know why exactly this was able to happen, but I do feel like stronger characterization was able to come through for the main girls in the PLL pilot than in this original Sin pilot. Would you agree with that?
I would, and I also think that like not only have two bodies dropped so quickly, but we've also had two time jumps within the first minutes of this episode. So it's like, okay, keep track of all the stuff that happened in 1999, and then also keep track of all this stuff that happened a month ago. And it's super clear that the only reason that they skipped ahead a month was because they didn't want to have to like have the whole first episode be about like funeral stuff and like police investigation stuff, because like we don't know what anyone did for a month. Like, there's no, like, what was Imogen doing if she wasn't going to school? Like, what was anyone doing? Nothing. Doesn't matter. Don't ask questions.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a bit of a lazy jump, which, I mean, that is in keeping with the spirit of the original show for sure.
Oh, it is. And we're not really like dwelling on like, why is Imogen staying with Tabitha's family? It kind of seems like she and Tabitha aren't even really that close of friends. Like, it's, you know, in PLL, whenever like Hannah would stay with the Fields or something, or the Field, or Emily would stay with the Marins, like, you understood why. Again, this show hasn't had the time to like establish those relationships, so I'm not going to be too hard on it, but it we are cutting through a lot to kind of like get to the meat of this, which is kind of just the school. I feel like we spend a lot of this episode at the school, kind of meeting the cast of characters, much like PLL. You know, there's kind of just this vibe of like the whole town is kind of creepy. Everybody has secrets. Everybody could be involved in some way. There's inexplicably this. Can we talk about the ballet school for a second?
Okay. Yes, you definitely can. So here are some of my notes about Millwood, which is the town. Millwood, it seems more working class than Rosewood. Like, even the nice houses are older and shabbier. The high school as well is kind of run down, but is the last remaining school in America still generously funding the arts with ballet and film studies classes? Because I don't think that the ballet school is like a separate location. I think that the ballet... I think that like instead of drama club, or maybe probably in addition to drama club, they have like a semi-professional ballet that is part of Millwood High School, because of course they do.
That is taught by Madame Jury, by the way. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you can't do that. Like, call her like, I don't know, like Madame Christine, or like do some other reference, but you can't literally call her Madame Jury.
Well, they did. I mean, they went there. But I also feel like that is, like, you don't call her that if she's not helping the Phantom, right? Like, that seems like you don't. So
yeah.
Obviously, like, it would be, I will go back and I will come over to your side and say, like, why did they name her that if she's not helping the Phantom? Although, she's got to be helping the Phantom. But also, you know, from like the novel of Phantom of the Opera, I am also keeping my eyes peeled for anybody who is like her daughter, who she's hoping to be the Empress. My eyes are scanning for any signs of that.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be some Black Swan references. This, like, Black Swan the movie references. This.
Well, at least that would be maybe a little bit queerer, but
yeah, maybe something gay. Yeah, so we have this ballet school. We have the dance. It's not even a dance off because Farron just gets the part, which is like a little anticlimactic, but like Farron gets the part. Karen is just like, it's there's a weird thing happening here where like all of the set dressing of the high school, it's like there's tons of like, you know, pronoun posters and like gay clubs and like kind of there seems to be a background implication that this school is like somewhat progressive. And then the mean girl character of Karen, who is like the queen bee, is like 1950s racist. I'm like,
yes, she is.
And it's like, what do you make of that? Like, is it just inconsistent writing? Is it going to be something deeper? Is it just too soon to tell? It feels extremely Ryan Murphy, where like, I feel like a hallmark of Ryan Murphy shows is he's like, oh, I think this line is like funny and offensive. I'm going to have a character say it, even though it makes no sense in the context of like this world or these characters. And I kind of feel like Karen was just like a Ryan Murphy character.
Okay. So I feel like if you are watching this show, like, if you like were from outer space or something, if you were watching the show trying to figure it out, it would be like, okay, is this like, you would almost be like, is this like a post-apocalyptic high school? Because like the high school is super shitty seeming. Like it looks dirty, like the floors look dirty, it's lit poorly, like everywhere is like 1950s linoleum and stuff. So like the high school building itself appears to be like super old and run down, but it is like plastered over with all of these like dusty, dingy posters that are for like climate justice and like, you know, like you said, like pronouns and like the GSA or whatever. So I don't know. And then you do have Karen, who's running around like the dichotomy of like, you know, this inciting incident that happened in the 90s versus like now, like Karen would seem like too racist for the 90s, which is like saying a great deal. Like she's more racist than the racist girl in The Craft, which I mean that's a lot.
Yeah, that girl is racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. And she's also like making like homophobic cracks too, and just generally like being an asshole to everybody. So I feel like they have not kind of figured out what the like social hierarchy at this school is. Which I think is like a thing that PLL, for all its faults, in the best parts of the show, kind of had figured out. They lost the thread on it for sure.
So I have like, I guess we'll talk about it more when we get to like kind of the stuff that happens in the end of this episode. But I sort of have a theory that Karen, like in terms of like living in this town, we know that Karen and the nondescript twin Kelly, their dad is Sheriff Badman, who we'll get to more about why I'm calling him that. But he's Sheriff Badman, and he appears to be like the law in this town. We don't like see any other police or anything. Later, at a critical moment when someone needs to like call for emergency assistance, they don't say like I'm calling 911 or I'm calling the cops. They say I'm calling the sheriff, who of course would be Sheriff Badman. So I kind of think that like Karen lives in a world where she's never going to have to face consequences because her dad is like powerful. Not necessarily sure. That he's rich, but that he has like the patriarchal power of John Law behind him. That's my theory. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's my guess.
I think that that's a good guess. I think that makes sense as a guess. Should we talk a little bit about the sheriff?
Yeah, let's definitely do that.
So, so Noah is, she's on, has to do community service and also has to, have urine samples throughout this episode. We don't get the reason why. Is that correct? They don't.
That is one of the mysteries that I have listed later on.
Yeah. And so, as with it, seemingly everything in this town, the community service is, the overseer of community service is Karen's dad, Officer Badman. And at one point, he's in his squad car and Noah comes over to him and sees that he is getting a blowjob from what appears to be a very young teenage boy, presumably another kid on the community service team. So this is weirdly like the only actually like gay thing that happens in this episode. It's like not awesome.
No, it's sexual assault. Like,
yeah. No, I'm
using his power and like, yeah, this is not great show.
Yeah. Not great. I'm interested in what this show is going to do with the predatory men, because we have this, later Tabby has an interaction with her boss at the movie theater, and he's pulling out all the Prezra Fitz moves, you know, like, you're so smart, you're so worldly, you know, oh, kind of implying he wishes that they were the same age, that she seems like the college girls, you know, he's to date and all this and all that. And then he tries to kiss her, and the scary, not Michael Myers, kind of breaks them up. But, so this is like, you know, a couple instances, I'm sure there will be others, of like predatory behavior in this town. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that's handled as the show goes on.
I will say, I do think that both in the case of Sheriff Badman and in the case of, speaking of Tabby and her life filled with movie references, her creepy boss's name is Wes. So thanks, Joe. Anyway, but like Wes and Sheriff Badman both do seem to be like, they are creeps, but the show codes them as creeps.
Yeah, I would agree. And codes their behavior as like not okay.
Yeah. Now, I will say that I have my eye on Chip, who also works at the movie theater. I got some Lucas vibes from Chip. So we're going to see.
Oh, sure.
If he winds up being a nice, an alleged nice guy who is secretly a creep.
I could definitely see that. There's also, so we talked a little bit about like the high body count. I think a thing that, so Imogen is pregnant. The word abortion is said several times in this episode, which is something PLL never did in its entire run. Imogen at one point kind of has a freak out and goes to this poor like beleaguered school nurse who's just dealing with everybody's problems and says that she wants an abortion. The nurse points out that she is too pregnant for that to happen and kind of downplays her by being like, you can just handle 3 more months. It's fine. What do you think having this character be pregnant? Because that's something, you know, we never actually had that on PLL, did we? We never had like a pregnant teen who carried a baby to term. What does this bring to the show, to the character, to the universe of PLL, because I think it definitely feels a little different.
It does. It definitely does. Well, you know, PLL was really invested in different ways in making the characters like suffer for their, you know, their perceived wrongdoings. And so I feel like it's interesting whether the show, they don't seem to be setting it up as like, oh, you know, she's a bad girl, she had sex, and so now look at her, she is pregnant. Although, of course, they are in English class discussing the Scarlet Letter, which the teacher is like calling on her to talk about and stuff like that. So it's interesting. And it's also interesting the way that like she does not have agency over her own body. Like the nurse is just like, 3 more months, you'll be fine. You can give it up for adoption. And then later the principal is kind of implying that he would like to remove her from the school because her pregnancy is upsetting to other students, namely Karen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this sort of, you know, it's this physical thing that you can't ignore. It's also interesting, it brings a level of like adultness to this character and to this show, that I think like also like the swearing, you know, silly in a way, but it does. I mean, because these, in some ways, these are like teenagers with maybe slightly rougher edges than the teenagers of Rosewood.
Yeah, I think that the overall vibe of this show is like, it's a little grittier than PLL. It's more interested in like, it's more interest, like the credits are like more photorealistic than, you know, than not. So I think that like having her be pregnant, it kind of fits in with that. Like they're having like a very like real world situation that's kind of front and center here.
And it makes me curious because this like is a very desexualized pilot. It makes me really curious how sexuality in general is going to be handled on this show.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, the fact that you said that Allison is maybe going to be on next season, you did mention we don't know who the, we don't know who the other person involved in this pregnancy is. I'm hoping that it's not Emily's eggs.
Just oh, God.
Putting that out there.
Eggs. Eggs. If it's Emily's eggs,
I'm hoping that no stolen eggs.
No like secret implantation. Like, I we don't need that storyline anymore, PLL. We can be done with that. We can be done with that. Yeah. One of the things I felt is that I wished that the characters, the kind of the final scene involves the characters all bonding together because they each feel that they've been wronged by Karen and Imogen swears that they are going to kill her. I think this is a good scene. I think it needed to happen a lot earlier to go to the pacing issue. Like so much of the pilot of PLL, you are getting little hints of these girls' relationships with each other. And that's where a lot of the strength is. And I wanted more of that in this pilot.
Yeah, I definitely hear you there. So let's talk about Karen's no good, very bad day, which involves, she is, as we mentioned, running for Spirit Queen. And when everyone arrives at school, it is apparent that all of the posters that she had up of her Spirit Queen campaign, they've all been like severely defaced, like not just like horns and mustaches, but like eyes scratched out and stuff like that. So all of her spirit posters have been defaced. And it seems like Imogen and Tabby may be behind it, because in addition to all those posters being defaced, there are now posters promoting Imogen as a candidate for Spirit Queen. So the first thing that happens is the posters are defaced. Then later, there is a dead rat inside her bag, which like gives flashbacks of Spencer and her bleeding bag during her Oxford interview.
Yep.
And then as if that were not enough, when she goes to ballet class, There, someone has put a razor blade in her ballet slipper, so that her foot is bleeding everywhere. And it looks like Mouse is on the hook for the dead rat in the bag. And then it seems like Farron is blamed for the razor blade in ballet slipper. And all of these things, like, there is, like, no evidence. Like, the only thing that seems to happen is that Karen indicates this is who she thinks did it. And then, despite the fact that, like, so if you believe Karen, and you believe that, like, all of these girls were targeting her in these, like, variously violent ways, what the school does is they put everybody in, like, a Breakfast Club style unsupervised detention, which yep. does not really seem like a sufficient response. But if you don't believe that all of that happened, why are you trying to hold these people responsible? So I felt confused.
Yeah, it is confusing. Also, the thing with Farron, wouldn't it make a lot more sense if, like, Karen had gotten the part of the swan and Farron was like her understudy or something?
Yes, because Farron already has the part. So, like, she has absolutely no motive, like, except that Karen is like a racist and crappy person.
Yeah,
it's no motive there.
It's bizarre. So the idea is that the somewhat convoluted conclusion that they all come to is basically Karen is ruining our lives. And, you know, we need to, in the parlance of another piece of media that we covered on this show, do revenge against her. And in a rather campy way, she says we're going to kill Karen. It's like unclear whether, you know, that will actually come to pass or not.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, so I totally think that what's going to happen is they're going to have said that, somebody will have overheard them, or there'll be, like, a recording or something. They're not going to kill her, but she's going to wind up dead. So I that's my guess, is how that's going to play out.
That would make sense, and I'm sure that there'll be some twin stuff, you know, something twins, I'm sure, mm-hmm. will happen. Mm-hmm. Will happen. Well, yeah.
Also, I do want to call out that Noah, like, there's not any allegation that Noah did anything to Karen, but she is in detention because she fails her drug test, which is, like, that's weird. Like, and she speculates that Karen's sister Kelly, who works in the nurse's office as a medical assistant, I don't know, she speculates that Kelly spiked her pee, which she thinks happened. And the only, like, theory behind that is that, like, Noah is dating a boy that Kelly had wanted to hook up with, like, last year.
It's weird. It's weird. And I feel like, these motives could have been a little bit stronger. Like, I think altogether, perhaps a bit better. Maybe they're intentionally not great, but I just feel like, I don't know. Maybe they could have been slightly better. Who knows?
Well, and we know that A is behind this. Like, we know that A is behind getting all these girls into detention because, like, the campaign posters for Imogen. Imogen's last name is Adams, and so, like, that there's an A that's red, which appears to be, like, the, you know, like Zorro, the sign of the Z. Like, the red A is always the sign of, like, it's A.
Yeah. And there's, interestingly, A is not signing the messages because each of the girls does receive a message. Mm-hmm. They're not great messages and they don't have the little A sign off, but it's the same idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely agree. And then also we should just mention that the third body that drops is that an unwitting janitor seems to discover an A layer and is then brutally murdered.
Yes. And there's, like, some dolls. There's, like, there is a creepy doll mask, I think, in this A lair. So it's, you know, it feels A-ish. The killing is quite brutal for A, it seems, you know. We don't usually see A actually killing people like that.
Yeah, a lot. A lot of murdering and death. So now I'm gonna do a little thing that I think I'm gonna try every episode to have one.
Okay.
But this is called 6 degrees of original PLL.
Okay.
And so today I'm gonna tell you that Carly Pope, who plays Davy, mother of Imogen, was in the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, which was directed by Jamie Babbitt, who also directed But I'm a Cheerleader, and who also directed, I learned this today, the Perfect Storm episode of PLL, which is one of our favorites.
Okay.
Yeah, Carly Pope also had a multi-episode stint on the 6th season of Suits, a program that Troyan's husband starred on and which Troyan appeared on during seasons 4 and 5. And she was also in an episode of True Calling with Eliza Dushku, which is not related to PLL, but which I do consider to be queer-coded. And she continues the tradition of Leslie Farah as Veronica Hastings, looking quite a bit like Mariska Hargitay / Detective Olivia Benson, as Carly Pope looks almost identical to Kobe Smulders.
Wow.
So that's my segment, The 6 Degrees of Original PLL. Thank you.
Fabulous. Oh, that's great. I have just some questions as we sort of ponder this show. Is this show weird enough? Because one of the things we talked about is like PLL is weird in a way that is very like fun and interesting. And I wonder if this show is weird enough. And maybe we can't tell just based on the pilot.
Okay, I don't think that we can tell just based on the pilot. But also, one of the things that I think is a strength of this show is that it is not just trying to recreate original PLL. Like, sure. The DNA is different enough. And, like, the approach is different enough. Like, the grittier credits that still have, like, kind of our hallmarks of, like, dolls and masks and like a sheriff's badge and stuff like that. So I don't think it's as weird as original PLL, but I also don't think it's trying to be. Like, it's not shooting and missing. I think it's actually like trying to go down a slightly different path. I don't think it's trying to be weird so much as it's trying to be like sort of eerie and unsettling.
Sure. I can see that. I can definitely see that. One more six degree of separation here. I just discovered that because I started looking in the Itty Bitty Titty Committee cast, and Melanie Mayron is an actress who's in that show who directed 7 episodes of Pretty Little Liars.
There you go.
The Itty Bitty Titty Committee to PLL Pipeline. There we go. Yeah, I think that the, you know, eerie and gritty thing is true. I think, you know, this show, people who created Riverdale are involved in this show, and I think you can tell. There's definitely some Riverdale vibes, for better or for worse. Even the way that the episodes are titled is very Riverdale. To me, this actually sort of tonally felt more in line with a Riverdale than a PLL. Maybe it was just the character of Karen who feels kind of ripped out of that show. It's to me, like, the main ways in which it's like PLL is that, you know, everybody has secrets. We have creepy men, and there's sort of the idea of like secrets keeping everyone close, and the town sort of being a character in and of itself. Ways in which it really stuck out as not being like PLL. There's less distinction between the girls. The things we mentioned about like more blood, more swearing, higher body count. Also for this pilot, and this is a point in favor of Original Sin, less weird needle drops. there's so much music in that PLL pilot. For sure, it needs to be gayer. And I'm kind of a bit perplexed that they didn't... lean into that in this first episode, just since that's such a part of early PLL. But maybe they just felt like they didn't have the space for it. I don't know.
I mean, they crammed so much other stuff in. Like, what would a little bit more be at this point? Like, my gosh.
Sure.
I do think, like, this is a very, very low bar, but I do think it's the best spinoff to date. It's competing, yeah, of course, with classics such as Ravenswood and The Perfectionists. But I do think that it is better, at least so far, than either of those shows. And again, I think it's because it's not trying to be like an exact copy. It's
yeah, kind
of trying to do its own thing. And I'm interested enough in that to see where it goes. It's also, I think, a strength of it is that it is more diverse than the original cast of PLL, because we have like the seeming main liars are women of color. So that's great. We have Tabby, we have Noah, and we have Farron for that. And
Mouse, I think, as well.
Well, I don't know what's going on with Mouse. I don't know Mouse's gender identity. I don't know Mouse's like ethnic heritage. I don't know. Like
Mouse remains
like mystery. Mouse actually is, she can like turn into a mouse, and I would be like, oh, I just missed that. Like, I don't know. Mouse is mysterious.
Mouse is a mystery.
But so you think Mouse is also a woman of color?
Yeah,
a character of color.
I'm gonna look up the actress real quick. One little thing I have to tell you: Melanie Mayron directed the Bang Bang episode, so she's.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the actress who plays her has Filipino descent. Is of Filipino descent. Okay. So you know, we'll see. I don't know how Mouse is being characterized, but.
Okay, well then I'm gonna bring something up here, which is we talked before about how the pilot, you're sort of seeing the story unfold through Imogen's eyes. I feel like the original PLL, you know, even though in the pilot we did talk about, like, did they kind of intend for Arya to be the lead? Like, you know, what were their intentions? How did it pan out? I feel like in this episode, Imogen is much more clearly the lead than we ever really saw in the PLL pilot or in a PLL episode. And so in that case, I do feel like, oh, so we do have a more diverse cast. We have a bunch of actors of color who are playing these roles, but who's the lead? The white girl with blonde hair who presumably has had sex with a man because she's 26 months pregnant.
Yes, this is a true point. And who like aesthetically has the most in common with Karen, the, you know, indisputable like villain. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I'm curious how that will play out. I also felt like they gave Tabby some, like, one of her first lines, not talking to Imogen, is like, I felt this like very clunky line about like, the like film list that they have for their class has like no female directors or directors of color on it, which like absolutely is a concern. But the way that they have her deliver that line and the way that line is written, it's just like, are we supposed to find this character annoying? Because that's how this feels.
Yeah. It's a good question. Let's pivot for a sec to the mysteries, if we could. I have a list of the mysteries, and then let's see if I've forgotten any, and then we can also talk if we have any like thoughts this early. So the mysteries, of course, the eternal mystery of PLL: who is A? The next one: what happened at the Y2K party? The next one: what happened to Davy, mother of Imogen? Followed by: who is Daddy? Who is the father of the baby that Imogen is carrying? What did Noah do to require her to pee in a cup, to have an ankle monitor, and have to be doing community service every day? Next mystery, who all's gay here? Please tell me. Don't make this continue as a mystery. And then finally, what the fuck is Tabby up to with her camera that she planted in the boys' locker room?
Yeah! What was that?
I have no idea.
So of these mysteries, what are you, what's at the top of your list?
I mean, my top priority is who all's gay here. But I would say that I do think that the kind of interlocked mysteries of like who is A, what happened at the Y2K party, and how did that like tie into Davy, mother of Imogen? Like, I am pretty interested in finding out about all that.
Yeah, I think Davy, mother of Imogen, that's just her name now. Like, I really want to know what happened with her.
Well, like, listen, I'm already having to keep track of the names of like all of like these, all of these girls who like were meeting one on top of the other in this episode, and to then also have to try to keep track of their moms, who for all the like the mom's story seems to be very pivotal here, the moms are like barely in this episode. Like, you know, Davy, mother of Imogen, appears only to get murdered. Sydney, mother of Tabby, is probably in it the most, but I don't think she has more than like three scenes probably. And then like we see Farron's mother, and we briefly see Noah's mother, but like I mean, I would say probably less than like 60 seconds of screen time for the other mothers combined.
Yeah, they're, it's very, very brief. And it's also like, we'll get like, we'll see their face and then we'll see the flash of them as teenagers, it, like from the cold open. And it's like, yes, okay, we get it. Each of these moms is going to be related. I want to know why everybody stayed in this town, especially if it was apparently full of so much trauma.
Yes. And all had like, all had kids at the exact same time with men who are now absent. Except for, and I will say that like, we don't know that there's any connection between Karen's family and what happened at the Y2K party. Although like the implication when we see Angela kind of like staggering around, I definitely feel that it seems like she has perhaps been drugged and maybe assaulted. But we don't really know, like, they don't really make that very clear. But I would say that, like, if that happened, and I feel like there's a really great chance that Sheriff Bad Dad was definitely involved.
Sure, sure, sure. I could definitely see that. Yeah, absolutely.
Which would then tie, like, that family into it in a way that they do not appear to be tied into it right now.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be related somehow. So much time is being spent with Karen and the lesser Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I guess I had a guess about who is, like, the only dude that Imogen has been tied to that we know of is that, like, Karen thinks that Imogen, like, kissed Greg or was trying to get with Greg. So I'm gonna say that like he seems like a leading candidate for potentially being the baby daddy.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. And which seems boring, but like,
yeah, it seems like it's like, oh, if I could guess that after 2 minutes, I hope that that's not the actual answer. But
yeah, maybe. Totally. What else do you have to say about this pilot?
Oh, my. Well, okay. So I do have, like, what are your thoughts on how parent heavy the origin story is, given how little the parents are involved so far?
I really don't know. I mean, I feel like Are they going to do like a Wine Moms thing where like we have an episode that's like just the parents or just in flashback? Like, I think that could be interesting. I wonder, I don't know. I kind of, you know, I get a little bit of like Yellow Jackets vibes in terms of like the flashbacks and the flash forwards. But like, I think if they were going to do that more consistently, like they maybe would have established that in the pilot. There's a lot of characters. There's a lot of characters to care about. And like, if something happened, like if Davy did actually kill herself and, you know, like leave her daughter and her grandchild, like presumably it would have to be something like really, really horrible to lead her to do that.
Yes, but also to lead her to do that, like, fucking immediately. Like,
yes!
To see her, like, she, gets one A message, and then she's like, okay, I mean, my daughter is pregnant, and we were going to be raising this baby together, and also her, like, mean friend is over, but, like, that's it. Like, we're done.
That was probably an It reference too, because there's a part where somebody gets the It message as an adult and then kills themself in a bathtub. So that might have been part of it too.
Could be.
It on the wall in blood. So.
Oh, well.
Yes. Aren't we original?
Okay. So Sheriff Badman is the only father we meet or hear tell of, and his family is clearly terrified of him. What do you think that means for the role of men or fathers here? Like, is this like Themyscira? Like, are all of the other women just like forming their own society? What's going on?
I'm fascinated by that. I mean, I kind of hope so for two reasons. One, because who needs more men on TV? Two, because there's already so many damn characters on this show that like, I don't need then a bunch of dads. But if that's the case, like, what a fascinating choice, especially in the wake of the terrible fathers on PLL. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's interesting that Sheriff Badman, he has, like, the rage of Kenneth De Laurentiis. And he has, like, the sort of, like, what do I want to say? Like, he encourages like the sort of like perfectionist slash like unrelenting competitiveness in his children that like Peter Hastings at his most toxic does. And he is like, you know, he is like being unfaithful in a car and committing sexual assault in manner of Prezra and Byron Montgomery. So I'm fascinated they've just taken like all the bad qualities of men and off like Toby and Wilden and Holbrook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
He's all the bad dads in one.
So he's like, they took all of the bad dad characteristics, shook it up in like a bottle, and we're like, okay, we've just got one, and it's Sheriff Badman.
I mean, I'd be fine with that. If it's just one guy with all the bad qualities, I'm cool with that.
And I'm also going to say that Wes, who is also very creepy, and hilariously, Ezra's brother is Wes, right? Original PLL. So yeah, there we go.
That would be funny if that dude just like inexplicably came back.
He happens to be a Fitzgerald working at the movie theater. But so this dude is bad news. He's coded as being real creepy. But I will say that he does something super unusual in the world of PLL, which is when they're being spied on by the, Michael Myers, that's not Michael Myers, like, what are we going to call it? Like,
a-
Michael Myers, like.
A Junior.
Akel Ayers. The A, who is staring at them, he wants to be a big man and he wants to like get out of the car and go confront this person. And Tabby does not want him to. She's like, start the car, let's get out of here. And of course, like, because this is like what they're doing with Tabby, she like name checks like horror directors, and that's what they're thinking. But the thing is, here's what he does. he listens to her. He's a total creep. And I'm not saying that he respects her, but I'm saying that he respects her more than, say, Toby respects Spencer or Presner respects Arya, because he does actually listen to her, and they do make it. They do make it out of that scene without being attacked.
Yeah, I mean, the bar is on the ground, but stepping over it.
It is. It totally is. Okay. So my next question, do we think that the inciting incident being related to the parents' generation means that we actually could have one of the parents be A?
Oh, that would be very interesting. I mean, none of the parents are characters enough that I feel like that would be satisfying right now. But, you know, again, it's just the pilot. There's a lot more like table setting to do. Maybe. I don't feel like I know enough of them well enough to say that I think one would be best. Maybe Sheriff Badman, but that almost feels too obvious.
Okay. And then how do we feel about the girls forming a friendship rather than like establishing that there's a pre-existing bond between them?
I'm really split on this one because on the one hand, I think the pre-established bond would feel A, weirder in the wake of them apparently not knowing that their moms knew each other, which I still have a lot of questions about. But B, like kind of a little too much of a ripoff of original PLL. But I wanted more bonding between them in this episode. So I think I'm okay with it being a new friendship. I just wish we'd gotten there a little bit earlier in the pilot. What would you say?
I feel like it's going to be harder to see these girls as ride or die in the way the original Liars were ride or die, because the original Liars were like trauma bonded because of Allison's like emotional manipulation. And they also like by the time we meet them, they already have a big secret, being that they were involved in blinding Jenna. So they already like are kind of co-conspirators and stuff. So I feel like not only do they have friendship between them, but that they have like mutual secrets that they're all invested in keeping and stuff. So I feel like their bond just automatically feels stronger. I think this show is going to have a lot of catching up to do to try to get these characters to that same sort of place. Not that they can't do it, just that I think it's going to be a pretty uphill climb. And I think that it's way easier. It's going to be way easier for like A or whoever to manipulate like differences between them and stuff like that, just because like they're virtually strangers.
It's also like so much of what was like so interesting about original PLL was kind of the dichotomy of like the way that the friendship functioned under Allison versus the way that the friendship functions without Allison, and like under kind of the reign of the terror of A. So I don't know. I wonder how that's going to work. I also wonder how it's going to be like, are they going to have other friends that come in? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it seems like Mouse has this this kid who's involved in the GSA. It seems like Tabby has Chip, the movie theater kid, who I think might be a Lucas, who we see her eating lunch with. Imogen does not appear to have any other friends besides Tabby. I guess her mom, who is now dead. And then trying to think, Noah, I guess, has her boyfriend that we see her interacting with. And then Farron, I don't think we see Farron interacting with anybody besides her mother.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
Yeah. So yeah, it does seem like we see her dancing with a guy called Henry, and I remember his name because they say that his name is Henry like 3 times in 30 seconds. So
yeah,
we do see her doing ballet with Henry.
with Henry, who's like maybe gay. We don't know.
It's totally unknown. Yeah, I hope that in the next episode it will be revealed that all of them are gay. But yeah. I'll settle for like 3 out of 5.
Yeah, there we go. Wow. Well, we'll have a lot. We are at the beginning of a journey, and there is much to be unfolded, much to learn.
Yeah. I am eager to see where it goes. I told you that, like, I liked it. It was clunky. It was convoluted. They were trying to stuff like too much story into a too small space. It felt like, but all in all, like I did enjoy it. Like I am invested to see where it goes. What do you feel? Are you invested, or are you kind of just like, all right, I'm on the ride now, so there's no getting off. I'm keeping my arms inside the car.
Here's what I'll say. When I was watching it, I was like, Jesus, this feels like the longest thing I've ever watched. And I think it's because so many things were happening. However, talking about it now, I'm excited to find out what happens. I'm also excited to keep talking about it because I think it will be ripe for discussion. I'm going to echo something you said, which is that, like, I appreciate that it's not just a copy of a copy of a copy. Like, they are trying to do some new things here. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, but I appreciate that they're like stretching a little bit, to try something a little bit different. So I'm curious to see where it's going to go.
All right. We will see. I too am excited. We'll see how the second episode does for us.
We will. And we're going to be, posting every other week, just so people are aware. We would love to hear from people. We want to hear, you know, what are the things that you are excited about? If maybe you're kind of starting watching the show along with us, please no spoilers, because we're trying to remain somewhat spoiler free as we go through this. But you know, if you want to send us something without spoilers, some thoughts, we'd love to hear them. You can of course send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram at Everybody A Podcast. You can check out our Spotify, Everybody A, Everybody Gay. And you can send in a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. Yeah, this is gonna be a fun ride. I'm glad we're on it together.
Me too. Until next time.
Take care.